Hashem. Good. Baruch Hashem.
Ready?
Yes. Okay. Be'ezer Hashem for tonight. We're going to actually skip a topic. Last time I had told you that we were going to go to Graf Shalrei, but I think what we're going to do, due to my the schluss of the conversations I had with Rav Neman Sal Shlita today, so it's they ID the Midrash Chavivale. Chazal say that the ones that they expanded on, those are things that were dear Lahavdil to Amorayim. So those things that we discussed with Rabbeim, those are things that are dear to me. So I ask Mechila that I'm going slightly out of order. We're going to skip Graf Shalrei just for a week. Blina there in a week from now. We will get back to it. But we will pick up in Simin Shin Ches with a very controversial. It's probably the most controversial issue that exists in Hilchos Muktzah today. And that is the issue of animals, pets, which has engendered many discussions, but not a lot of shailos u'tshuvos from giant poskim. So let's see how things develop, Be'ezer Hashem, this evening. Simin Shin Chesif Mem. Now, the halachos of Baalei Chayim really appear in a cryptic gemara on Kuf Chav Chesam and Beis, which is in the first of the first page after the cover questions, where the Mishnah describes on Kuf Chav Chesam and Beis, Kofin es salafnei afrochim kedei shialu v'yardu. You're allowed to, and we're going to discuss the halachic parameters of this another time, you're allowed to place a utensil in front of chicks that need to go up and down. And that's not a problem in terms of bitul kli mechano v'amevin yavin. That's a separate topic, which, remind me, we got to get to. Tarnigola shebarcha. If you have a chicken that has escaped the chicken coop, dochinosa achetikonis. So you're allowed to nudge it back, notice lashon docha, until it enters the coop itself. The Gemara, when it discusses the movement of the Tarnigolas, says the following. The Gemara is three lines in. Tarnigolas Shebarcha, the chicken that has escaped, Dochin in Midadin Lo. You're allowed to nudge it along, but you're not allowed to entirely move it. Let's take a look at Rashi. Midadin Lo, Shelo Yehei, Ochsa biga peha, don't grab it by its wings. Viraglea nogin la'aretz umalicha, and its legs are going to sort of be encouraged to walk on the ground. The Gemara says, "Tanil la'adatan rabbanim midadim behem chayv of bechatzar v'lo as a tarnigolus." You can't do that with tarnigolus. Notice now the Gemara has brought in the shaila of where you're doing it in terms of the halachos of carrying. So it says that bechatzar it's mutar tarnigolos, you're not allowed to. Tarnigolos my time alone. What's the reason that you can't do with tarnigolos? Amar abayi mishum de mekapya nafsha, says Rashi. Mekapya nafsha magbas atzma min aretz, it raises itself from the ground. V'nimtza zeh metaltel. In other words, you're going to end up causing the tarnigolos to move. That's the problem. Now, the Gemara still hasn't told us exactly what the problem is. What exactly is the Isser? The Gemara doesn't tell us that. Tani chada, midada behema chayvav b'chatzer, avalo b'rishus harabim. Ah, that's the issue of whether you're carrying or not. Vo'isha midada es b'nor b'rishus harabim, ve'in tzarech lom b'chatzer. We're not talking about carrying kids right now, but v'amevin yavin chay nosa es atzmo. We learned another brisa, and there's another brisa that says that you can't be oker beima chayvov bechatzer. You can't pick them up, but you could push them. Hagufa kasha, amrit ein oker, do you medadim? Hader amrit dochen in medadim lo. Which one is right? And the Gemara gives a technical answer. So leaving aside the exact reconciliation of the brises, which is not our issue. The Gemara never tells us exactly what the issue is in terms of moving these animals along. You could have even read it as being a different issue aside from Mukta, but Rashi is the one who makes the problem. Says Rashi, in Dibra Amaschel Ein Okrin, Rashi says, Ein Okrin Ragel Gamri Min Aretz, the Mukta Hila Tautla. So Rashi is the one who emphasizes that it's Mukta in regards to Tiltul. This is the approach of the Beis Yosef. And Halacha Lamaisa, this is a standard Havana, that the reason why the Gemara says that there is shilus of moving the rooster around is because Balei Chaim are Mukta. What type of Mukta? So it's Mukta Machmas Gufo. It doesn't have any particular purpose for you on Shabbos, and therefore it's going to be problematic. The Beis Yosef quotes this in Sif Mem. By the way, if you take a look at the tour, Sif Katam Mem and Sif Katam Mem Aleph, there is no express explanation of the Isser of the Medida in regards to the Tarnagolis, in regards to Mukta. It doesn't say expressly that the Shaila is Mukta, even though the placement in the Rambam would also indicate that that is the problem. The Rambam puts in the end of Perichav Hey, and the Rambam would seem to indicate also that it's a problem of Mukta. According to some Rishonim, the issue over here might be a totally different issue, and that is the issue of pulling out the chicken's feathers. If you're going to pull it in a way that's inappropriate, so then in such a case you might pull out its feathers. But one cannot rely on that, at least as a starting point of l'chatchila, because clearly, according to Rashi, that it's going to be a shaila of mukta. If you take a look at the quote that the Beis Yosef has of the Rambam, here you see this idea of pulling out the feathers. The Beis Yosef quotes the Rambam in the first wide line on page Mem, Os Mem. On the first wide line in the Beis Yosef, Rambam Kasav Perichav Hei Halachavav She'ein Medad in Tarnigoles Mipnei Shehi Nishmetes Minayad V'Nimtzu'u Agafel Nitzloshim. That the problem is that the feathers are going to be pulled out. Now, on the one hand, the Rambam seems to put in Hilchos Mukzed, as I had argued, but as the Beis Yosef presents it, it seems like the problem is more that what's going to happen with the feathers than it is in terms of Hilchos Mukta. Rashi clearly writes it to Shaila Mukta. The way the Beis Yosef presents it, I throw out to the Avrichim to be Ma'ayin more, the way the Beis Yosef presents it, it sounds like it's a totally different Shaila Aliba La Rambam, even though the Rambam seems to put it along in the same perek of Hilchos Mukta. I want to hear what the Avrichim have to say about that. But this is not Iyun, this is Halacha. So this is the Gemara, this is the Shitas HaRambam, this is Shitas Rashi. Tov. Of course, once the Beis Yosef learned up Rashi the way he did, so how does he paskin? Let's go to Shulchan Aruch, the next page. Simin Shin Chesif Mem. Kol Be'im Achayiv Of. Medadim Osam B'chotzer. All animals, one is allowed to help them along in a chotzer. Dahainu She'ochez B'tzavarim U'B'tzdadim U'malichan. You're allowed to grab their necks. Im tzrichin habalei chayim lekach, if the animals need it. Says the Mishnah Brura, I'll tell you what he means, if the animals need it. Third line from the bottom, sif katan kuf nun alif, umishum tzar balei chayim, the heter is tzar balei chayim. Dimlo kein asulasis kein. When the Gemara said you're allowed to move it along, it's a little bit of ukimta again in the Gemara. The Gemara didn't mention Tsar Balei Chaim, but the Mishnah Brura, if you're going to say that the heter over here is starting from the idea that really it's Asur because of Mukta, so how could the Gemara say sometimes you're allowed to be Medadet, sometimes you're not? So what's the answer? The answer is that Tsar Balei Chaim. In the case of Tsar Balei Chaim, it's Mutter. That's Tzrichim Balei Chaim Lekach. Dimlokein also slashes Kain, says the Mishnah Brura. The Bechol midi de lo chazu the Taltel, Kishem shemitaltan kulo kach ein mitaltan miktsaso. Just like you can't be metalta all of it, you can't be metalta part of it. So the fact that you're nudging it along and you're not lifting it up is not a heter. Now the Beis Yosef points out that the Ran asks Akasha, we've already found cases, if you want to see it inside, it's the Ran, it's in the Beis Yosef, Umasha Kasav Ubilvad. We've never seen a chiluk between whether you're pushing something along or whether you're lifting it up entirely. The rule of thumb, as we're going to see shortly, is that it all depends on whether you're moving it. So if that's so, asks the Ran, who cares in the Gemara whether you're nudging it along or you're picking it up? And the Ran, as quoted by the Beis Yosef, says that the chiluk is based on the fact that when it comes to Tzar Balei Chaim, will be Mekel by Tzar Balei Chaim, we're going to be Mekel for this issue. But when it comes to Muktzah in general, it doesn't make a difference of whether I'm pushing it along or I'm not. But for Tzar Balei Chaim, you'll have the Hefter. So let's talk Halacha L'maisa. So what emerges vis-a-vis Halacha L'maisa is that in a case of which there's Balei Chaim, which is Muktzah, if the Balei Chaim need help because of Tzar Balei Chaim, you would be allowed to push it along, but to lift it entirely would be usher. Yes, Rabbi?
Can I repeat the Ran's
yes, the Ran says like this. In general, we never found that there's a distinction of whether I move, here's the recorder. Do I move the recorder along by pushing it along the desk, or do I lift it? We spoke about in the past, touching is not a problem. But moving is always a problem. Says the Ran, you have to say that on some level they decide, Chazal, we're not gozer because it's Tzar Balei Chaim if you do it in a way that's not the normal way to be metaltel. If you nudge the animal along, b'makom Tzar Balei Chaim, then it's going to be mutter. That's what the Ran is going to say. Okay. Now, of course, what's on everybody's mind in regards to this halacha is what about pets? Rafi was by my sister's house in Cleveland, and when the Shulchan Aruch was writing this halacha, they didn't have Bailey in mind. Bailey is this big dog. He's about the size of a human being. He's larger, and the kids love to ride on him, and they love to play with him, etc., etc. What's the halacha in regards to pets? What's halacha in regards to pets? Are pets muktzah or not? Are you allowed to take your dog out for a walk? So there's a lot of confusion in the sugya. There's a tremendous amount of confusion in the sugya. And at least we'll try to be mesader es ha-sugya without pointing out the difference of approaches. Let's take a look over here at the Ha'ara from Rav Nevin Zal Shlita. He writes, in Dibra HaMaschel Asur, Afilu Balei Chaim Ha'omdim L'Shashua He'moktzim. So in the Ha'ara B'Yitzchak Ikare, Rav Nevin Zal, if you will, paskins that even pets are going to be muktzah. B'yomtov einu muktzim imamdim l'shchita. Admor zal mistapek dilma kalbo shel suma dino kikli. But Reb Shlomo Zalman was mesupak that it could be a seeing eye dog has the status of a utensil. Last time we learned this about 3 years ago, Rav Tuvia Brander was here, and at the end of the year, he told me, I just did a search of when the first seeing eye dog appeared. That was the first for me in Shir that someone like Googled information. He said, he was listening to Shir. There were times that guys were just sitting and that they were surfing the net. But that, Baruch Hashem, is not this year. He searched the net for this particular Shaila in the middle of the phenomenon. And he pointed out something fascinating, that the first seeing eye dog appeared, this is before the Chavetz Chaim video, of the Chavetz Chaim walking, this is 3 years ago. He said, after the death of the Chavetz Chaim, which is quite late, I did not realize that it was only in the 30s that the first seeing eye dog appears, which is why this Shaila is very, very much a new Shaila. Now, Mipi HaShmur of Nevin Sal Shlita almost was Soser's original psak, and I'm going to explain what I mean. Again, the Biyitzchak Yikare, he says that pets are muktzah. I'm going to share with you why he says that pets are muktzah. He said that Reb Shlomo Zalman was mesupik about this. Just like Reb Shlomo Zalman said that just like a seeing eye dog is a kli, and it's not balechayim. Again, let's review. What is muktzah machmas gufa? Muktzah machmas gufa means that wasn't designated for particular human purpose before Shabbos. So they didn't have Bailey in mind. They didn't have a dog that was a pet in mind when we spoke about Bali Chaim. You were talking about a cow and even a dog. What was a dog in those days? A dog was a hunting dog. A dog wasn't man's best friend in the sense of what a shashua. The whole idea of using a dog as a shashua, that did not exist. Even 100 years ago, it wasn't common. If you would have said to the Chavetz Chaim that this person looks at him as his buddy, I don't know if the Chavetz Chaim would have really understood what we meant about that. Hunting dog, yes. If a seeing eye dog, the Chavetz Chaim Kedarko Bekodesh for sure would have understood that. However, when it comes to the way in which pets are used today, particularly in regards to the dog, there are tshuvas harishayim about pets. We're going to get to. But dogs, that particularly, I'm not aware of from the Kadmon. One of the most important tshuvas is, as you turn past the Mishnah Brura, is a tshuva of the Ma'arach Arzeruah. Just a little bit of history. Reb Chaim Eliezer was the son of the great Arzeruah. It's interesting, I just checked up a little bit of his biography. He did not know his own father, the famous Arzeruah. His father passed away when he was very, very young, but he's known on his father's name. His name was Rabbeinu Chaim, and he's called Alpi, his father's Sefer, the Sefer Ar Zeruah, and he has an interesting Shaila, and I think, as many others have pointed out, some have mistakenly pointed to this tshuva of the Ma'arach Ar Zeruah in terms of being matir certain pets, and I'm not convinced that this Ma'arach Ar Zeruah is the source of a heter, even though in Svara, definitely there's room to judge that maybe it could very well be that today a dog that's a pet, that a child likes to play with, maybe the halacha is going to be different. Yes, Rav Rafi.
Two nekudas. The first, Rav Nenzel himself brings down here about Misasa and
we're going to discuss that. Yeah, we'll get there. Don't worry. I know. You're talking about walking the dog? Is that what you're talking about? Okay, yeah. I'm going to mention that. Yeah, go ahead.
And the other thing was, in terms of dogs is my name, I think people use dogs for a guardian, etc.
Right.
So is that...
Oh, so to me, it's a davar pashut that the description of a shashua as a toy means that the relationship between the owner and the dog is that they play together, that he touches them. To say that a dog that's a guard dog, then in such a case, then that it would be mutter to touch the dog, stam, that's a little bit harder to hear. Okay? That's a little bit harder to hear. And let me develop a little bit more. Let's take a look at Shas Jews Ma'arach Zeruah. It's a fascinating tshuva. The Shmira Shabbos Kilchasa, I did not photocopy it for you. I would highly recommend that you take a look at this Maramakum. It's in Perek, in the old edition, of course. I apologize. It's in the old edition, Perek Chaf, Ha'ara Tzadi Vav, where he quotes, I'm going to first present to you the way in which the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says it. He says that the Ma'arach Ar Zeruah says that it's mutter to be metaltal certain birds, and then, a sentence later, he quotes the Tshuvas Halachas Ketanos. I believe that's from Rabbi Nasha Klein, who says the mutter taltal behema chayev of sheroy letzachik botinok, that the Halachas Ketanos, this is the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa quotes, we'll see a little bit more from the footnote shortly, that those things that children play with, it could be, are not muktzah. Now let's see if those two topics are connected. The case of the marach or zarua, is that a maramakom that would be enough to be metaltel children, animals that are children's pets or even an adult's pet? Let's take a look. Va'od ha'udiyuni, the previous part of Simen Pei Alef in the marach or zarua, is a totally different topic. And I also told them, they asked me another shayla, kinira li, afal pisha balechayim muktzim ninu, even though balechayim muktzim ekol makom nira li letaltel. Oh, it's permissible to metaltel ofos hamitzafzifim bekol na bekluba, that you're allowed to move a parakeet, a, what are the names of the birds that sing beautifully?
Parrots
talk beautifully, unless they're a sailor's parrot. Reminds me of a great joke I told a couple years, Sichas Musar. So once somebody bought a parrot, and the previous owner, turns out, it was a sailor, and the parrot cursed terribly. So he said, next time you curse, I'm going to put you in the freezer. So he cursed. So he put him in the freezer. So he takes him out a minute later, and the parrot says, "Burr, I won't curse again, I promise." He says, "But I just want to know, what did the chicken do?" Okay. So, Nachzar l'inyanenu, so he says that the halach is like this. Ofos hamitzavtzefim, if the bird sings, bekol na bekluba, sings in its klubo. It's, there's a particular, a nightingale. So the nightingale sings in its cage. So he says, the lekel amechash dil mashamet gudfayu. Once it's in the cage, then you're not afraid that it's going to pull out the wings. You remember what was the Rambam's kshash in moving animals around? They're going to pull out its wings. But here, he says, you're not worried about that. Here, how you read the marach ha'zeruah is a little bit of a question. And then he adds, kivam shebnei adam nenim bikolam la muktzim ninu. And since people enjoy their call, they're not considered muktzah. Why? Midi d'ahavi asli kusta shehi lemara. So what's asli kusta? So that's a gemara, as I jotted on the bottom. The truth is I wrote this marach or zarua. My printer doesn't attach to my bar ilan, so I wrote out all by hand. And on the bottom I added this. So Yomo ran and he got it clear. My handwriting is terrible. And all he had, and he then he combined what I wrote on the bottom. Kedarko b'kodesh. So I'm very indebted to all what he does to make these booklets. Slikusta is what? Slikusta is a, the Gemara describes on Daf Nun Amabez, is a type of plant that people would smell, and it was also at a Mara Yafe. And the Gemara discusses that if, the Gemara there has nothing to do with Hilchos Mokza, but the Gemara says that if you took it out of the dirt, and you put it back before Shabbos, so then you're not making a new hole, you're allowed to put it back and forth. Like the halacha, sometimes if you have a knife in the ground, that if it's been already moved, taken in and out, then the Gemara Beitza says it's not a problem to take it out again, because the hole was already there. But if it's a fresh hole, then it's going to be a problem. Ayin Shom B'Gemara. So the Marach Har Zeruah is making a deal. The Gemara's only shaila is in terms of making a hole. But what about the fact that the slikusta is a plant, and the plant is muktza? So says the marach or zeruah, it's not muktza if people enjoy the mara, they put it in their lapel, they smell it, etc., etc. So then in such a case, that's not going to be a problem of muktza. So zot the marach or zeruah, kaftor eferach. V'kolu mara ki adodi ninu linyam mila. Just like the halacha is that when it comes to mara, it's not considered muktza. In Hilchas Hegdish, when it comes to the Seches Mi'ila, Kol and Mare both are subject to Mi'ila. They're the exact same, have the exact same halachas. So Mare is not muktza, like we see by the Slikusta, so too the Kol of the nightingale is not, makes it not muktza as well. And then he brings a raya. V'tzeil man mikol klishir dilav gzerish emeti pasek shema yimutu tatal sharaben. And another raya would be an instrument. That what's the reason that instruments are muktza? Because you're not allowed to play it. But if you would be allowed to play it, no problem. You'd be able to be metaltel. Why would you be able to be metaltel? Because you're allowed to play it. And if you're allowed to play it, that's a tzorach for Shabbos. But we don't play it. Shema yavo l'takin. Memeila, the klishur is muktzah. But without that, it wouldn't be muktzah. Oh, so what do you see from the Marach or Zeruah? There's such a thing as a pet that's not going to be muktzah. So first of all, I have two ha'aras. Number one is this pet, and this is a smaller ha'ara. Yesh ladon, this parakeet is in its cage. And we're talking about moving around the cage. Now presumably that's not a kasha, because if there's nothing else in the cage is going to be a basis to something which is muktzah. Therefore you won't be allowed to move the cage. Says the and in those days, they, what we were talking about is that people used to like to, it seems like some that have described that women used to walk around. It was almost like a form of, you know what, people still do it today. You know, they have their ringtones on their phones. So this was like this, instead of a cool ringtone, so they used to walk around with these parakeets in this cage, and they were small. So they used to carry them on their shoulders, or it was attached to their things. It was something cute that people carried along with them. So that is not going to be considered muktzah, because if as a tzorach for a kol, it's not going to be considered muktzah. Rabosai, l'chura, animals are not muktzah as a tzorach. Maskim, what are you taina? Makar or not? And how did Rav Neuver Tzatzal present it? Again, write down the Mar Mokom. I regret that I didn't photocopy this. Perech of Zayin Ha'orat Tzadi Vav. How does Rav Neuvert bring this down? Rav Neuvert says, this is the heter of the Marach or Zeruah. And then he says, and the Tshuvas Hilchos Ketana says, Mutot Tatal Bei Mechayivov. So I think I have an important ha'ara over here. And I don't think I'm the first to make this point. By the way, there's a Talmud Chacham here in the Beis Medrash. He's not here when I come. He's been speaking to me the last couple of years about the sugya. It's very much on his mind. Rav Lubarsky, he gives shiurim in Michlala in Hilchos Muktzah. So in Sukkot, he called me up about to discuss this. He had done more research than I did. In fact, I called him up yesterday just to get any more Marim Mekomos, but we spoke out this Marach or Zeruah. And we spoke about the svaras of the Kelev over here. Rabosai, there's a big chiluk. There's a big chiluk. The Marach or Zeruah's heter was specifically in regards to the parakeet because it's a heter of kol. That's the heter. The heter is that it's a kli of kol. It's like an instrument. It's an instrument that doesn't have the shayla of shemi sakin klishir. And who says you're not allowed to have music on Shabbos? You're not allowed to play it lest it break. But who says? Who says it's not? It's going to be a problem. So Mamela, just like we have the heter of Mara, we have the heter of Kol. In contrast to if we're going to take an animal that Chazal clearly said that the Balei Chaim are Muktzah, the Mar Zeruah is saying that this is not one of the regular Balei Chaim. Chazal never spoke about this Baal Chai. Chazal never spoke about this Baal Chai. This Baal Chai is an instrument. This Baal Chai is no different than a gluska, gluskuta, silikusta. This thing is a silikusta. That's what it is. But it's not. It's not the same thing as a Baal Chai that was mamish asur, according to Chazal. To turn that into heter, that's going to be a different story. To turn that into heter, that's going to be a different ballgame. I see there are a couple of dear Avrichim that are not so happy with me. Yes, Rav Aaron, go ahead.
If the bird is nifter,
yes.
So isn't that the equivalent of the instrument breaking?
And if it would be. And then it would be moksa, maskim. Then it would be moksa.
But only once it's... Meaning, but because if an instrument breaks... because an instrument you play, but a bird doesn't require playing to...
Exactly. Yes, Michael.
The heter of Mara?
Yes.
So if it was a shodah, like one of those...
Ooh, that's interesting. In other words, maybe if there was a heter of Mara, in other words... Right, I'll tell you what I think is the difference. We're going to discuss, Amir Tashem, next week. If you take a look, Question 9, which we're not going to get to. So I'm so excited about the sugya of pets, I figured, you know, let's go a little more slowly on this topic. But Mir Tashem, we're going to get to question number 9. What happens, and it relates to 9, what happens if you have something that normally is 99% of the time it's muktzah? But either there's a very particular breed of its type that has a tzarech, but 99% of all dogs fall into the category of muktzah. So if 1% that's a show dog, that's number one. Number two is, I don't know, it could very well be that you follow 99%, that's Aleph. Bayes is that same show dog that somebody, you know, in down south where they have show dogs, so there, you know, that same dog, if you took it to Meir Sharim, no one's going to think of it as a show dog, you know, or you, not only to Meir Sharim, if you took it to Beit Vegan, most people are not going to look at it as a show dog. It could be the exact same dog. So that also becomes another shaila about how to look at it. So for two different reasons, I'm not sure that that's going to be entirely relevant. Oh. What? Why? Because it's in a cage, it would be different. So I suggested that it could be at that in that instance, you're not being metaltal the animal directly. So where's a fall into category total menatzad, Mishnah Brura, Chazanish, Vamevin Yavin? Right? No. I wanted to tiny. Maybe it is mukta, but just mukta because it's in the. But it doesn't sound like that. That's what the Marach Harzeru is saying. But again. But that might be only in this case with the nightingale, but with something else, it might be different. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein, in the most controversial, of course, of the Igros Moshe, Chelek Hei, Rav Moshe responds, Kol Balei Chaim Havei Muktza, Afilu Kan, Oz Chaf Aleph, Shatinokos Mesach Gemein, Ela Im Kain Heim, L'shashuim. There's a word there that's missing. Elim kein heim. See, every letter is important. Miyuchad. Probably miyuchad l'shashuim. Somebody wants to run to office. Is that it? Matov manam. That's it. So let's quickly. Yeah, that's it. Shekach.
Why is this the most controversial?
Because this was not put out in Ramosha's lifetime. It was put out by one of his special grandchildren. And so therefore, some had argued that either Rav Moshe did not want those tshuvas to be printed, some had other, I believe this was that chelek. Yeah. This is the only chelek that came out posthumously from Rav Moshe. Elaim Kain, whoever said it right, has a potential as an editor. Elaim Kain, hei miyuchadim l'shashuim. That's the correct girsa. So Rav Moshe seems to say if it's miyuchad l'shashuim, so then in such a case it would fall into a different category. So once we have this Rav Moshe, and of course in parentheses it says pets, so then, I mean, there's a little bit of a question over here. Bailey also helps out in terms of guarding the house, right? He does help in terms of guarding the house. Is that miyuchad l'shashuim? How do you measure whether it's miyuchad? Whether it's miyuchad l'shashuim. I want to make another point also that I think is extremely important, and I have rayas from this in Chazal that I don't have time to expound on upon right now. Just one second, and that is that I think that one of the reasons why the Gedolei HaPoskim were resistant to say, and to this day there are still many poskim who will not say that even a dog as a pet is not muktza, is because of how a kelev itself, a dog itself, was looked at throughout the generations and by Chazal. In other words, that a kelev is clearly associated with being a baal chai, and to change that, if Chazal look at a kelev as a baal chai, to say that now the Metzius has changed, then you're saying that Chazal's definition of it has begun to change as well. So there are clearly Gemaras that put a Kelev into the category of Chaya, into a wild animal, And then, just because that there are some people who have changed it, I think that that's difficult for some, although Rav Moshe seems to be open to this possibility. One more point to Hara before I forget, and then I'll take Rav Zev's Hara. Rav Nevin Sal told me, he keeps on repeating, and I couldn't find it. Last night I did a tshuva, a search in the Bar Ilan, I couldn't find it, and I finally found it 3 minutes before Shir tonight. And I realize why I didn't find it. Rav Nevin Sal kept on saying that the Rosh is Mefurish, that pets are Muktzah. And he said that was the source that he was coming from. So I couldn't find the Rosh. I did a check in the Tshuvas HaRosh, I couldn't find it. So 3 minutes before Shir, as I was reading over the Shmir Shabbos, which in the past I had seen, I just wanted to make sure again, see what the Shmir Shabbos said. I had originally, years ago, I had not even put in the booklet, that's why it doesn't appear here. He then quotes that there is another Tshuvas Marach or Zeruah. And in that's the next one. The Ilu Sham B'Simin Pei Beis B'Shem HaRosh Mavur D'Yesh Lesar B'Bali Chaim Ke'ein Mishtam Shem Ben V'Lo Plug Rabbanon B'Bali Chaim. This again, I apologize that you don't have the photocopy in front of you. I'm quoting from Rav Neuwirth's Ha'ara that in Pei Beis in the Marach or Zeruah he says Lo Plug Rabbanon B'Bali Chaim. So l'chura, so that's where Rav Nevin Sal says that's where he was coming from who made this psak. Even though it's true that Rav Shlomo Zalman was being noted towards that it has a new status, he said at least for sure for a seeing eye dog, yesh lav in regards to a pet, and Rav Moshe already turns. So l'chura, you could ask, and almost the Shmir Shabbos Kilchus is driving at it, there's a steer in the Marach Har Zeruah. The Marach Har Zeruah in Pei Aleph says beferish the what's it called is mutter. The nightingale is mutter. Yet, in Pei Beis, he says, Lo plug rabbanon b'bali chayim. It's almost as if Rav Neuwirth Zatzal is asking Akasha, stira. So what's the answer? Based on our above understanding, there's no stira. It could be that as our Rebbe taught, that the Rosh holds Lo plug rabbanon b'bali chayim. And therefore, if these b'bali chayim, and it's clear that a dog in many places in Chazal is looked at as a b'al chay. And since it's looked at as a Baal Chai, even if you're going to find a show dog, or your people are going to start using it as pets, still, at the end of the day, it's going to be Muktzah. The Marach Har Zeruah said that the nightingale is different. There again, that's because the nightingale he looked at in an entirely different fashion. He looked at the nightingale as Kol. And Kol and Mara, he already had a Makar for Mara not being Muktzah. But to say that somehow that certain breeds of dogs, for sure, there are going to be dogs today that are going to be what? That are going to be Muktzah. So if that's so, to make a plug between different types of dogs, that's going to be much more difficult than in regards to the nightingale as well. However, one could come back, and let's see if this is what you wanted to say. One could respond and say, but birds itself, within birds itself, that when it comes to a bird itself, so this bird is it's not all birds are not going to be Muktzah. So I think what the Marach Har Zeruah is going to answer is very simple. The Marach Har Zeruah is going to say that this bird is clearly miyuchad because of the kol phenomenon. In other words, this bird, the nightingale, was always a separate category because of kol. In contrast to dogs, that it was never looked at as a shashua. So now, Hamotzi Mechaver Olvaraya, and now you want to change the status, then that's going to be very, very different. In contrast, a nightingale was always enjoyed for its song. Now, obviously, the next stage is almost becomes a question of sociology, and that is man's best friend. This whole idea of man's best friend and the relationship between man and dog, which does intrigue some people, you know, how far back does it go? Was the way we relate to dogs today, that some people have dogs that are cats that they're very close with. When did that start? But that rechura is the diun over here. Hayotze midvareinu, the shaila the crux of the shaila is do we say that the dog has now turned into a separate type of kli, that a pet has turned into a separate type of kli, and that yesh lodun, and the raya from the Marach Har Zeruah is not a very strong Raya, and if the fact Marachar Zeruah a page later quotes the Rosh that says Lo Plug B'Balei Chaim, that's going to be problematic. So then Yesh Ladon. Again, I am not convinced L'Chumra. First of all, when my Rabbeim say, I listen to. But in terms of my own understanding, I am not convinced L'Chumra, because there is room to say, as Rav Nevinzal himself said, that according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, it seems like Rav Shlomo Zalman was pushing the envelope. That Rav Shlomo Zalman was saying that the seeing eye dog has a new metzius. And therefore, what the Rosh had said, a low plug by Balei Chaim, Rav Shlomo Zalman now felt is a different ballgame. When did the Marachar Zeruah say low plug by Balei Chaim? If there was some person who decided that they like, that they're attached to a particular animal. So then we say low plug. Or if there's a few people. But if now the whole metzius of the dog, is there such a thing called the seeing eye dog, which clearly has its own unique characteristics, it becomes a shashua. So then Rav Nevinzal says, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, chiddush yesh ladin. And now I finally understood. I kept on struggling with how my Rebbe Mineu Bey could be starting with Rav Shlomo Zalman. At different times he seemed to have told me different things. So the answer is that he was in the first line, he was going with the Rosh, L'chumra. And then he says, but according to Rav Shlomo Zalman's Svara, then there might be room to change. Because once we're going to create that phenomenon, so then when does it become a Shashua? But Lania's Daiti, there's no stira in the Marach Arzarua, Aleph, Beis the Marach Arzarua cannot be the source of the Kula today for pets. The only question becomes whether you're going to take Rav Shlomo Zalman's Svara, which will be Oker, the Yesod of the Rosh, which Rav Nevinzal himself, Halach Lamaisa, was a little bit reticent. However, we will see in the next line that we read from Rav Nevinzal, saw already an exception where the Halach had already changed. And that is, let's continue on, Aquarium. Sheyesh bo mayim udgei noi. If there is an aquarium, we in English call it a fish tank that has water and fish for noi. Admor nota lahatir l'taltel. Rav Shlomo Zalman was already nota l'taltel that. So in other words, that Rav Shlomo Zalman already, again, l'shitaso, was already willing to go past the low plug of the Rosh. Say the low plug of the Rosh was in those days where there was a low plug. There was no fish tanks. There were no things that were lanoi, v'chule, v'chule, v'chule. The Marachar Zeruah is going to say that the nightingale is a major exception. It's a heter called kol, and it's a heter called mare. But nowadays, it's a totally different mitzvah. Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal argues. Nowadays, that's 30 years ago. It's a totally different mitzvah. And again, times are changing fast. When the Chafetz Chaim was alive, there was no such thing as a seeing eye dog. Derech Agav, I have one more raya from Rav Moshe for those who, for whatever reason, don't want to use chelek hay. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a seminal tshuva in chelek aleph, 70 years before chelek hay. In chelek aleph, he has a fascinating tshuva where he talks about a blind person taking a seeing eye dog into shul. And there, Rav Moshe discusses whether you're allowed to take a seeing eye dog in shul. Never there, it's clear from Rav Moshe there that he's discussing taking to shul on Shabbos. In Chelek Aleph, he makes no reference. It could be there's another tshuva. It's coming back to me. There might be a second tshuva as well. But in that tshuva, in Chelek Aleph at least, Rav Moshe makes no reference to the fact that it's going to be muktza, even though it's quite clear that he was taking it in for Shabbos. Now, you could argue that it was a case in which he didn't touch the animal directly. And then, as we're going to see in a moment, it could very well be that that's not a shayla of muktza either. So Adkan, this topic that is still being struggled in the most positive sense by Gedolei Poskim. There have been Rabbanim that I've heard, community Rabbanim that have developed, that they think that it's reached the point that it's a Shashua. Lania's Daiti, that's the only correct way to go. It's Rav Shlomo Zalman that created the Petach. His own closest Talmud was not willing to walk through the Pesach himself. He's still going with the Tshuvas HaRosh. But he said he was Moda himself that according to Rav Shlomo Zalman there is room to follow that route out of self than to say that pets would not be mukta. I do think that Rav Nevinzal's point is very, very valid, that I'm giving what I think, adding my Pirush Rashi, that a kelev, to say that a kelev's status has changed, you need to have big shoulders to be able to say that. Yeah.
Mentioning a fish, can't you just say that's the same gather as the it's not an expansion of the gather, that's just an application of
yes, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. Exactly, Rabbi Aaron. What then, Rav Shlomo, it's if you will, the way we say morning Seder, it's Rav Shlomo Zalman L'Shitasa. Right, that's what it is. It's Rav Shlomo Zalman L'Shitasa when it comes to the fish. Correct. Yeah. Okay. Good. Let's go to another topic.
It's not bringing the boundary closer to involving pets, just that it's just an application of the kol of the mara.
That's correct.
No.
I don't think so. I think that's different than kol umara. Kol umara is saying that the Gemara already told us that mara is mutter. Memela kol is mutter. Memela, we know that that's already a separate category. That's the chiddush of Marach Har Zeruah. To add anything more into the Marach Har Zeruah is putting words in the Marach Har Zeruah. That's my point. Everything in Muktzah at the end of the day is about, is it a kli or is it not a kli? That's what Muktzah is all about. Is it a kli or is it not a kli?
They say that a pet is an opportunity to introduce a new category of shashua. You can't, a person can't play with a fish. You can't.
Nachon.
So I don't understand.
Oh, you want to say that when it comes to the fish,
it's purely lemare. Yeah, there's no.
That's interesting. I didn't think of it that way. That's not Rav Shlomo Zalman L'Shitasa. I didn't think of it that way. Rav Aaron wants to suggest that the heter of the fish is really an extension of the heter of Shabbos Daf Nun Amud Beis. That's what it's based on. It's based on Slikusta. That's interesting. That I didn't think of it that way. What I understand? I understood that just like the seeing eye dog is a totally different mitzvah today, so two fish are totally different mitzvahs today. Because fish, once upon a time, what was fish for? Fish was you fished them and you ate them. That's what fish were for. And that there was one more fish that the Leviathan, that when Mashiach comes, that we would eat from. There are basically two entities of fish in the world. And that is, and one that swallowed Yonah. That was what fish were. Those three possibilities, those three categories, that's it. So now, human beings look at fish how? As they look at fish in the... Okay. All right, so now we've answered our animals, muktzah, why not? Does Allah differentiate between a pet dog and a cow? That's B'Yitzchak Yikare. Differences between P'yashmo, what Rav Nevinzal wrote. What about seeing eye dog? Number four, if a particular animal is muktzah, can one walk the animal on a leash? Very important. As Rav Rafi pointed out, there is an important phenomenon that even if we're going to be machmir, like it could very well be, we should, to say that a dog is muktzah, nevertheless, you would be allowed, of course, provided that be an eriv, to take your dog out on a leash. Why? Let's take a look again, Rav Nevinzal Zahara, Miktsaso. Same page, Kufyud. As long as you're not moving the dog directly, on a leash, even though you move the hair, it's not going to be a problem. That's not going to be a problem. Some posts can discuss, is it mutter to touch at all the hair of the animal? Maybe there might be a minority view in the Rishonim that that's not muktzah, but Rav Nevinzal is not going with that heter. Rav Nevinzal is saying that even if the leash is going to move the hair, nevertheless, halacha is that's going to be mutter because you're not moving it directly. That's called tiltul minatzad. What would the Chazon Ish say about that? I'm not convinced the Chazon Ish will be mekel. I have to ask my Rebbe next week, but I think that's fine. Rav Nevinzal himself in other places went not like with the Chazon Ish, went like with the Mishnah Berurah. We discussed tiltul minatzad is that if you move something without touching it directly, you push it. The case in the Mishnah Berurah that we had last week was you move muktzah with a knife, the Mishnah Berurah is mekel. That's called tiltul minatzad. Chazon Ish says, what type of joke is that? That's not called tiltul minatzad. He says, look through the Gemaras. That's not tiltul minatzad. Tiltul minatzad is not tiltul with a shinui. Tiltul minatzad means something totally different that we explained last week, according to Chazon Ish, what it is. This, the chura, is not necessarily tiltul minatzad if you're going to be pulling the animal. Chura of Nevinzal doesn't say over here, I could see him, though, on a follow-up saying, oh, yeah, it's only if you don't pull the animal. The pashtus is the way he it's presented in his name. By the way, he did not write these ha'aros. These are just based on his shiurim. The pashtus is that you're allowed to pull it as well. So the chura, according to Chazon Ish, that will be problematic, but according to the Mishnah Brura, there might be room to be mekel. Now, what I've not discussed is a totally different issue, and that's mishtamesh bebalei chayim, about riding on an animal, etc., etc. That I haven't discussed. I was only talking about hilchos mukta. We have to also learn, in terms of being mishtamesh bebalei chayim, what's mutter and what's not, in terms of pulling the animal, pushing the animal, riding on the animal, and so on and so forth. That needs to be discussed in a separate context, even though it's connected to the shaila. We've mentioned in the past what we have in Simon Shinches Sif Membeis. Let's do a couple of small, beautiful topics. In Shinches Membeis, page 220, we have the following. Dover Shu Muksa Mutu Ligabo. Here we finally have it. Something that is Muksa you're allowed to touch. Uvach Loi Menenea Filu Mitzaso. As long as you don't move it even partially. From here, the Lashon Mechaber, I mentioned using car as base when your kids are playing tag. So afilu miktsasol, maybe it is a problem. And they come running full steam into the car jumps a little. So then in such a case, that might be a problem. So then you would have to be careful to slow up before you run into base. Mem gimel, mutter letaltel muktsa al yedei neficha. This is a fascinating halacha. You're allowed to move muktsa by blowing it. And the reason for that is that that is not the normal way to move the mukta item. We've spoken in the past that you're allowed to move a mukta item with a shinui, according again to the Mishnah Brura, but you have to make sure that's a shinui for that item. I can't think of an item that we blow, although in the past we spoke about, our great example was if you hold a soccer ball as mukta. We're going to talk about playing ball. Oh, we're out of time. We're going to talk about playing ball for a couple minutes. We'll start off. If you hold a ball as muktza, as is the simple reading of the Mechaber in Sif Memei, also this chok b'Shabbos v'yontav b'kadur, it's prohibited to play with the kadur. So we had the beautiful Ha'ara from Rav Nevinsal that l'chura you would have said, but with a foot is mutter. So he said, but that's only a basketball. But if you hold a ball as mukta, a soccer ball, that would be the normal way to move it. What's the story with the ball? So Rav Nevinsal has a chiddush over here, a beautiful chiddush, that first of all is a machlokas mechaber rabma. Let's take a look inside. Also, this chok b'shavs v'yantav b'kadur v'yesh matirim v'nogu l'hakel. It's prohibited to play with shavs v'yantav with a ball, and there's some more matir and the minig is to be mekel. So the question is whether that is still a machlokas between Mechaber and Ashkenazim. I think this was the most important issue in my life from the age of 8 to 15 or 16 would be this machlokas. That's what we did all Shabbos as we played in the alleyways of Brooklyn. Mechaber seems to say that it's usher to play ball. And by the way, there was also a big problem because it wasn't an Erev, according to many opinions. Well, depends who you ask, right? Depends what yarmulke you wear, right? It's not important what the actual halacha says, what type of yarmulke you wear. I'm being facetious. So the Mechaber says like this. The Mechaber says, "Asur lischok b'shavus v'yantav b'kadur." It's prohibited to play with a kadur. V'yesh matirin v'nagu l'hakol. Some say that you're allowed to. So that was the most important issue in my life, whether it's permissible to play ball on Shabbos or not. So Mechaber says no. The Ramah says yes. Rav Nevinsal suggests that that is only in those days where the kadur was not something that was fashioned by a company. But he argues that even for Sfardim today, it's not going to be a problem. A ball would not be mukta. And Rav Nevinsal told me, he heard this from Shlomo Zalman, that a ball would not be mukta. What are the halachas about playing ball? So that we will pick up in Mirtza Hashem next week. So next week what we're going to do is we're going to pick up with question number 7. And we'll have a new booklet as well. And that will bring us to the end of Simon Shinches. And then we're going to go on to a few more topics. Bosses, a very, very important topic. Bosses are one of those topics that are very confusing unless you learn the klalim. You can make a lot of mistakes in Hilchos Bosses. We'll discuss the halachas of Ner as well, Bezer Hashem. And any other topics you think that we're missing for Muktza. And then what we're going to go to is, we have two possibilities, either to go to Amira Lenachri on Shabbos or to go to Chola on Shabbos. I'm noted towards going to Amira Lenachri, also a set of halachas that are actually quite nuanced and many people are not familiar with it. but I'd love to hear your feedback about what you would like to learn. But we're towards the end of Siman Shin Ches. We skipped around the drop. We have to do Graf Shel Rei. That's going to be next week. That's Shin Ches Sif Chav Zayin. We'll finish up these halachos, and then we'll go on Mirtashem to Basis.